Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Caroline White, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of super yachting is Cecile Gowett. Cecile, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Just back from Cortina and the Super Yacht Design Festival. I quite enjoyed the event, and the weather couldn't have been more perfect. But the talks were really great. What was your favorite, Caroline?
Yes, I totally agree. I think it was a really successful event. For me, it will be Marnix Hoekstra from Frypack talking about Project Zero, which is the world's first completely fossil-free super yacht. And it's actually in build, keel laid, I think at Vitters, and it's going to have no engine room. This is how seriously they're taking it. So they're going to have, they have loads of scientists and coders and interesting people as part of the wider team behind this project. And it's being put together by Foundation Zero. And the research they're doing is really pretty amazing stuff. And they're going to make it open source so everybody can benefit from what they discover.
I think that's really the favorite part of this project. You know, I think if we don't start working together on this, we'll never get there. So it's really an important project. I agree. And I really quite like the idea of salt batteries myself. Sounds like a better option than what we're doing now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What was your favorite? What was your favorite, Cecile?
It's hard to say because they were really all so good. I quite like Cynthia Haley from Marvel talking about design, I mean, drawing and the inspiration and where it comes from. And of course, we had a spin-off on her talk with a design challenge that you were part of, Caroline. I think that was quite fun. But I also loved hearing about the colors, the meaning of colors, and of course, the professor who talked at length about how the ocean environment can be so relaxing and calming on people and what exactly that is. Nobody really quite know for sure, but that was very interesting, particularly the mention he made that, you know, to help people recover from heart surgery, they done a study that shows that if you listen to the sound of the ocean, the people who just had this very invasive surgery were recovering faster. That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting. It was sort of things that you intuitively know, but you've never really kind of consciously thought, you know, we know the sea is calming and feels healthy, but you can't quite quantify or, you know, you don't know quite why that is. And he was going into detail on scientifically why that is. So it was very interesting. Yeah. As you say, difficult to choose the most interesting bits of that event,
but that's really
yeah. So as Cecile was saying, that was our Super Yacht Design Festival, which is held in Cortina every year and attended by the world's best super yacht designers, builders, everybody in the industry who is anybody is there, and it was a great event. But Cecile, you are intimately involved in the Boat Design and Innovation Awards, which were also announced in Cortina. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
That's right. So yeah, finally, we announced the winners of the 2023 competition. And there are 17 winners, so I'm not going to list them here. But if you are interested and you missed who the award winners are, please head on over to boatinternational.com, look at Boat Design Innovation Awards, and you will find all the deserved winners there. And in just a couple of months' time, we get to start all over again and start planning for next year and looking for nominations. So if you are interested in that, do have a look. There was quite a few interesting results, I thought. I think one that really kind of not surprised me, but certainly drew my attention was the newcomer from Holtermann Shipyard, which is a Dutch shipyard. They've started a brand called Extreme Yachts. And the yacht that won is Lady Fleur. And it pocketed two awards in one go with the shipyard's first 24 plus meter yacht. So I was not surprised it won because it's very interesting. But now the expectations are way high for this yarn and to see what they're going to come up with next.
It's quite an entrance.
Incredibly. Yes. Imagine that. So anyway, after this year's program, I was much inspired and I decided to take maybe a day before I head back to Florida, and I made a stop in Murano, and I found there much more to inspire me. I went to the Glass Museum, expecting to see all the details about the very classic glass that we all know Murano for, and I ran into an exhibit by a Swiss artist called Simon Berger called Shattering Beauty, and it was extraordinary. This man's work is quite challenging. It's quite humbling. He uses glass in very different ways. And literally applies a hammer to the glass surface to create shapes inside the glass, and he layers it. And so it actually has a 3D effect. I almost missed that there was an installation that had actually a full lion in it, and you had to stand some part of the room to see it. I thought, well, maybe Simon Berger could be a good speaker, you know, around the theme of glass in a future festival.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it sounds like the sort of art that would sit very nicely on a super yacht.
Absolutely. Yes. But now it's back to reality, and this week starts the Miami Boat Show. Never a dull moment.
Yeah, well, from Murano to Miami, as you say. I like the
alliteration. They're very nice. Nicely done, Caroline.
Very pleased with myself. So our data this week is about the Miami Boat Show. So we usually run a data segment in this podcast, and it's usually at the end of the podcast, but we thought we'd bring that up to this section of the podcast because we're talking about Miami already, and it seems like a sensible place.
And we have to change it up.
Exactly. So to give you some stats on the show, 51 yachts are expected at the Miami Boat Show.
That are larger than 24 meters.
I'm sorry, that are larger than 24 meters. The total LOA of those yachts is 1,761 meters. The average LOA, which is probably more enlightening, is 34.5 meters. The total gross tonnage is 18,487. And again, probably more enlightening, the average gross tonnage is 362 GT. 50 of those yachts are motor yachts, and only one is a sailing yacht, extraordinarily. And 40 of the yachts are semi-custom. The average age is 11.3 years. So some kind of interesting basic stats there.
Our data guru did point out that the gross tonnage was slightly changed because one of the yachts listed appearing at this year's show, is Apple, which is obviously a gigantic yacht with a big gross tonnage.
Interesting. So yes, if you remove Apo from these stats, the average gross tonnage becomes 265 GT. So that is interesting.
Yeah.
Two yachts will make their world debut at the show. One is the Ocean Alexander 32E, which is an evolution of the 30R with a giant aft deck for tenders. And the other is the Viking 90, which is already a giant commercial success for the American yard. And if you didn't see the CL yacht CLX96 at the latest Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show, she's going to be there too.
Yeah, well worth seeing. Very interesting, this yacht. Quite different.
Well, I mean, okay, so for outsiders, Cecile, how would you describe the Miami show in comparison with Fort Lauderdale, for example, which perhaps is more widely known as the big superyacht show in the US? Can you tell us how Miami is different?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, it's a combination of two shows that have existed side by side for years. And I think it was last year or maybe a couple of years ago already, they decided to combine them. So it is huge and scattered all around town. If you like traffic, you will love the Miami show.
Okay.
I'm serious. It's a high season in Miami. Everybody's here anyway. So then you have the boat show. You have other events that kind of start with it. So, and Miami is a bit of a gridlock anyway, most of the time. So yeah, this is phenomenally interesting in terms of looking at the cars sitting there on the streets. And they're usually very nice cars. So, you know, it's fine. So the Miami show has been changing over the years, and it's more and more about smaller and production boats. As you just went through the data, we could tell, obviously the average length is around 34 meters this year, I think you said, but also it's because of the shows on display this year is one of the largest, if not the largest, brokerage yacht ever shown at a North American show, which is 115 meters for one Lursen Apple, which is being shown by Mourinho and Ship. It will be there on display. I don't think anybody can miss it. Obviously, it's huge. And she's also most expensive yacht currently on the market with a price of 330 million euros.
Wow.
And then, yeah, that's a pretty good investment, right? But of course, she's brand new and absolutely super luxurious. I've gone through the boat twice now. And I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's a fantasy inside, and the quality of everything on board is just over the top. So yeah, if you have that kind of money and you're interested, have a look.
And am I right in thinking that she won an award at the Boat Design and Innovation Awards?
Yeah, actually, she won two. She won for Best Exterior Design, which is Nouveau Laurie Leonard, in conjunction with Lursen, obviously. And she also won a commendation award for the very high level of artisanship displayed on board. It's quite extraordinary. All the judges mentioned it. I mean, just the finishes on everything is just incredible. And then she's not the only big yacht. Actually, Moran Yacht is also showing another extraordinary Lursen, which is Kismet. And she's also quite beautiful. She is a Raymond Lantin design inside with a very good Art Deco theme. So yeah, very interesting. But it's not just about the big yachts. So we also have a few smaller ones. So as you mentioned earlier, there will be the Viking 90, which was announced at Philips last year. It's more efficient than the previous Viking 92, which was a very successful boat for Viking. And she's well on her way to be another really successful yacht model for them. And then they're also showing the biggest Valhalla to date, if you're not quite aware of that. They started this a while ago, and this is center consoles, and they're getting huge. And this year they're showing a 55-footer. So that should be an interesting one. And then on the more kind of environmentally conscious side of things, I guess, there's quite a few very interesting electric boats, if we want to say that electric is green. Not everybody agrees on that, but okay. We're not going to go into this debate right now. But among those, one I'll probably go see again is the Voltari 260. It's very interesting. They just set a record by doing a crossing from Bimini to Key Largo, which is about 91 miles on just one charge. It's actually crossing, you know, across the ocean. So that's quite an interesting feat that they've done. Yeah. And then not to list everyone, but Nautoswan is also showing its nice shadow there too. So I'll be happy to see that. And Galleon, which is a Polish builder, and absolutely Italian builders have a couple of new models in the smaller sizes too. So lots to see, really.
Fantastic. Well, I hope you don't get caught in the horrific traffic and you manage to make it. Lots of interesting news this week while we were busy on the slopes. Cecile, would you like to kick us off with some of the news from the world of super yachting?
Yeah, sure. We're in Lursen again. My gosh, this is a Lursen podcast. I swear, this is totally coincidental. But they've launched two very interesting projects this week. The first is Luminance. She's around, we think, 145 meters, but Lursen says 130 meter plus, and combines an exterior designed by Espenono International with an interior we believe to be by Zreti. Very little has been discussed by the shipyard so far. As you know, the bigger they are, the more discreet they want to be.
Yep. It's our tragedy. We have to deal with it every month. Very difficult.
That's right. Incidentally, François Zeretti received the Lifetime Achievement Awards last week in Cortina. We didn't mention that earlier.
Very well deserved it was too.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a very discreet man, but his contribution to the world of interior design is extremely significant and remarkable.
So there was another Lursen project, I believe, Cecile. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Lursen also revealed a new 90-meter displacement yacht, which was not named in the press release, but very much looks like the successor to Scott to me. Lursen simply called it Project 1601. How poetic.
Yeah. I mean, she does look a lot like Scott. It really kind of angular, lots of planes. Really interesting designed by Espenoina, who is also the designer of Scat. So it all kind of lines up, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the interior design is Docker and Voges design from Hamburg, which also was involved in the previous Scat. So we just say, we don't know for sure, but I think we're right.
Okay, probably never know for sure. Not for
We will eventually.
Eventually.
So from Germany, we're heading to Italy again, where there's been also a quite significant happening this week. Do you want to tell us about that, Caroline?
Yes. So right hot on the heels of our Super Yacht Design Festival in Cortina, a little further south, there was a big party at the Italian Sea Group. Our colleague Sophia Wilson headed straight there to attend, and it was for the big unveiling of a new 72 meter by Giorgio Armani, who was there in person. So Armani's said basically that they started working on the project in 2020 and developed, it was developed by Giorgio Armani and his team in collaboration with the Admiral Style Center. And it interprets and blends the DNA of the two brands to create a one-of-the-kind avant-garde mega yacht, the result of an encounter between the most exquisite aspects of the nautical and fashion world. You can tell that was written by a PR.
Yeah.
The design of the exterior is described as meticulous and captivating, with large, sharp, geometric volumes, perfectly balanced with curvier, softer shapes for an ensemble that is majestic and dynamic.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of hyperbole there. But I mean, it does look pretty beautiful from the images that we've seen. And if you want to see more of it, you can go onto our website and see the design in profile, at least. Armani Casa Interiors have done the interior with a discreet, refined, luxury and subdued scheme with very muted tones. They talk about refined materials, handcrafted finishes, and a masterful mix of the soft and vibrant. So yeah, sounds like a pretty interesting project. Can't wait to learn a little bit more about that as it develops. The custom project, which is built under the Admiral brand, is the first in a series of two designed by Armani in partnership with Admiral Style Center, and it's due for delivery in early 2024. And the event was a big multimedia production with models, lights, soaring music, and of course, excellent Italian food.
Oh, damn. I don't know. I think my invitation got lost in the mail.
Yeah, mine too.
Well, sticking to Italy, the first model in Baglietto's T52 line has hit the water at the Italian shipyard in a private ceremony held earlier this week. It's known as Hull 10238. This 52-meter model is the first of 8 units already sold in one of Baglietto's most successful lines to date. It's the flagship of the shipyard's sporty T-line series and was commissioned by a European owner with delivery in time for the Mediterranean cruising season. Better be, because, you know, when you want to go cruising, you want to go cruising. Also interesting, this first hull is fitted with a hybrid propulsion system that will allow the owner to opt in and out of more efficient cruising modes to minimize consumption and the yacht's environmental impact. When cruising in electrical diesel mode, T52 can reach a range of up to 7,600 nautical miles and remains at anchor for up to, and can remain at anchor for up to 10 hours, relying on the batteries alone. Nice. Under traditional navigation with two MTU 16V2000 M86 engine, she can reach a maximum speed of 17 knots and a range of 3,600 nautical miles. That's very interesting. A lot of different range for the operation of this yacht. That's nice.
Yeah, that sounds quite flexible.
Yeah. Francesco Paskowski is responsible for the sub-500 GT design, which reinterprets classic design elements of Baglietto traditional steel displacement yachts. Yeah, you can definitely tell this is a Baglietto. Very familiar. People who are familiar with the brand will know it immediately. It's very graceful, actually. I like it a lot. The new lines feature a restyle stern and open beach club across 3 levels, connecting the suite platform to the aft deck lounge to a main deck swimming pool with a floor that can be raised to create more room for entertaining guests. According to Boatpro, there are 5 T52s models currently under construction at the shipyard, along with 3 units in its successful Dom 133 series. Baglietto is really doing well this past year. It's incredible what's going on this yard lately.
It is. I hear the name basically on a daily basis. Somebody's talking yeah. about a project that's on the drawing board or being built. Or I mean, they're just going crazy there. I don't know yeah. why it's so popular at the moment, but well done to them.
Yeah, very well. I think they just have the good variety of models that appeal to different owners. And, you know, a couple of the new models are really, really well done, obviously. I guess I don't need to tell people that. Obviously, they've decided that for themselves.
Absolutely. Well, from brand new yachts to slightly older ones, we are going to continue with our regular feature of picking a brokerage yacht each and telling you why you should buy it. So I'm going to kick off with Asteria, which is a 49.4 meter Explorer yacht. that's listed for sale with Worth Avenue Yachts. So Asteria started life as a salvage tug in 1970 in Greece. I believe she was built in Greece before she was converted into an explorer yacht in 2002. I actually interviewed her owner for a feature in the magazine a couple of months back, and he told me about this amazing voyage that he and his family took to the Arctic on board Asteria. I think the current owner bought her about 5 years ago, and when he was telling me why he loved the yacht, he said he loved her because she was a real boat. He spent ages, I think potentially even years, trying to find a yacht that really was a true explorer that could take him on the world roaming voyages that he really wanted to make. And she was the boat that could do it. So she's a former salvage tug, I think. And she has an incredible range. She's really good in any sea state, loads of space for tenders, really sturdy. He said, I could go in the ice and she can do so many things that other boats can't. So she's a true explorer. They went on trips to Vanuatu, French Polynesia, Fiji, the Galapagos, Costa Rica, the Caribbean. They did, in the first summer they owned her, I believe they did 12,000 nautical miles over 69 days at sea. Yeah.
Remarkable. So anyway,
yeah, she's a really special, if you want to, proper explorer, she's a proper explorer. She's lying in Miami and she is asking $25 million. So if you're going to the Miami show and you want to see a slightly bigger boat and you've seen Apo and you've seen Kismet, maybe go see Asteria.
Yeah. She's actually just come out of the RMK shipyard in Miami after the trip they took her there for some updates and work and so forth and maintenance. So she should be in good shape after this big, long trip. And she's certainly proven herself worthy.
Absolutely. So how about you, Cecile? What's your brokerage bet?
Well, I am a sucker for a classic. So I saw that the sailing yacht Alexa of London is on the market. And oh, what a beauty. She's a steel gaff cutter super yacht built in 1992. The other reason I chose her is that she was built in Gdansk, Poland, at the Gdansk shipyard. And I recently had the very good luck of going to Gdansk, and I just fell in love with the city. It's just so beautiful. It's so different from what I expected. The country as a whole is really coming up in the ranks as a, you know, super yacht builder. Very interesting. I'm writing about a different boat there, but it caught my eye that she had been built there out of steel. With probably solid teak decks, which were replaced in 2015. She's a 37.5 meter, about 123 feet, with a beam of 7.4 meters and a draft of 3.3 meters, 10 feet 8 keel up and 6.9 meter, 22 feet keel down. Cross tonnage is around 116. Obviously, she's a sailing yacht, so not a very big girl, but just very graceful. And I think she's done quite well on the charter market, so she already has a track record there. So if somebody is interested in that, that's something they may want to look at. So one of the things also I should say about this beautiful Alexa, she was actually inspired by the Royal Yacht Britannia, and she's listed for 2.95 million euros.
Well, thank you for listening to Boat Briefing, which is mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And that's it for now. We'll see you next week.